Like we learned last week, just about everything we do, we are either doing it for God or we're doing it for someone else. Sadly, most of the time we're doing it for ourselves. I mean, just about everything that we do. But we are always to do everything we do for the glory of God. The Bible tells us to do that. If we do things for God, then we'll be rewarded by God. But if we do things for men, then we will be rewarded by man. But the rewards we receive from men are temporary, and one day they're going to be gone. Everything that we get on this earth, it's all going to burn up one of these days. But the rewards we get from God will last forever. So we need to make sure that what we do for the Lord. What we do for the glory of God. Now, last week, we looked at in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, and we saw how the Lord is teaching the children of Israel how it's going to be during the millennial reign of Christ. When he starts giving the Beatitudes, he's teaching them how things are going to be during the millennial reign. Now, that doesn't mean that we just throw it out. Those should be good attitudes that we have when you look at the Beatitudes. In fact, that's reading they're called the Beatitudes, but that's a good way to remember it. It's what your attitude should be, okay? And so we can certainly learn from that. Last week, we looked at the area. In fact, the Lord gave us three areas that he taught that we ought to make sure that we do everything we do for the glory of God. But he mentioned three specific areas where he said that there are hypocrites and there are Pharisees and these religious folks are doing them for the wrong reasons. And those three areas are the giving of alms, praying, and fasting. Those are the three areas that he mentioned. And when he was teaching on these things, he was saying, well, listen, when you go out and you give alms, you don't give alms to be seen of other people. In other words, like last week we said it, don't blow a trumpet if you're going to give alms. In other words, don't toot your own horn. One of those things that we have a saying in our house that, like if ever I cook something and it's really good and the boys say, boy, that dad, that's really good. I'll say, yes, it is. And my wife will go, toot. And what that means is don't toot your own horn. Well, sometimes I'll toot her, And so, but when it says whenever you give alms, not to sound a trumpet. In other words, you don't draw attention to yourself, because you draw attention to yourself. You already know God sees everything. But if you draw attention to yourself or you go tell somebody else what you did, you're doing it for one reason. And that's to get the glory from man. In other words, you're trying to get him to say, give you an attaboy. You're trying to win approval from him. And the Lord teaches that we ought not be doing that. Everything we do, we should do for the glory of God. Far too many people today do what they do for other people. That's the reason you have a lot of, in churches today, there are a lot of Sunday school teachers that get burned out and end up quitting because they get mad because nobody gives them enough credit and nobody ever says thank you. Well, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You don't do it for other people, you do it for the Lord. And you'll find this, if you do it for the Lord, you'll be able to do it a whole lot longer. You will, because you'll be able to, because you're doing it for the right reason. And so we learned the area of giving alms last week, and we learned how important it is for us to have the right motives for what we're doing. It's not the actions that matter so much to God, but why you do those actions and who you attempt to impress and glorify. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, look beginning at verse 1, and kind of just review what we learned last week. It said, take heed that ye do not alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father. In other words, if you do what you do and try to for the sake of other people, for the sake to be seen by other people, to try and impress other people, then you're not going to be rewarded by God for what you did. That makes it very plain there. Therefore, verse 2, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do. Notice here, every time he says don't do this, he always refers to the hypocrites that do this. Okay, you're going to see that tonight when it comes to prayer as well. It says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What was the reward? The glory of man. But like we learned last week, that can sure change awful fast. I mean, today everybody thinks the world of you and what you did. Tomorrow they can hate you for what you do. I mean, it can change really quick. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing. In other words, you don't have to go blabbing to everybody about what you did. Keep it to yourself and keep it between you and the Lord. Amen? But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So if you do it, you do it for the Lord. You do it in secret. You do what you do. You don't have to tell everybody else about what you did. And if you don't, if you're not interested in getting everybody's approval except for the Lord's, when you get to heaven one of these days, the Lord will reward you for it. And those rewards will last forever. We need to make sure that what we do for the Lord, not for the reward, but because we love Him. But knowing that if we do what we do for Him, that He will reward us for it. And so that's what we learned in the area of giving alms last week. Now this week we're going to continue to read Matthew chapter 6 and see what Jesus, that He goes from giving instructions concerning the giving of alms, and now He starts to give instructions on prayer. Now prayer is a subject that is, it's a vast subject. I mean, if you were to teach everything the Bible taught on prayer, well, I mean, we'd be here for a month, because there is a lot about prayer. There's a lot about how to pray. There's a lot about what your attitude should be in prayer, how much to pray, the posture of prayer. I mean, we can go on and on and on. But the Lord here is talking about prayer, and He's talking about it in the same sense that He talked about giving of alms. Because the whole context here is who are you doing it for? And so He starts talking about prayer. Now, mankind has been praying for a long time. In fact, all the way back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, it says there that then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And so people have been praying for a very long time. In all types of places, at all times, in just about every conceivable situation, man has been praying. And not only that, but lost men have been praying. You know, there are lost men today when things start going wrong, they start praying, Lord, help me. Oh, God, help me. Save me from this. And so it's not just lost, it's not just saved people praying, it's everybody who's been praying for a long time. Christian and heathen alike have been spend massive amounts of time in the pursuit of prayer. However, few people have made prayer the biggest priority in their life. Very few Christians have made prayer the biggest priority in their life. Prayer should be a major priority in your life. It should rank right up there with Bible reading. Amen. I mean, those are the two things that you hear preachers preach on all the time. Read your Bible, pray. Pray, read your Bible. When you read the Apostle Paul, how many times did he talk about prayer? I prayed for you. We prayed for you. We're constantly praying for you. Pray without ceasing. You hear him all the time talking about prayer. Prayer is a major thing. And not only that, but if you remember, the Lord sure prayed a lot. I mean, think about how many times that he went up on a mountain alone to pray. And how many times, think about the night there we learned this past Sunday about, you know, what all happened on the day of Passover. The very day that he was hung on the cross, he spent time in the garden praying. Prayed. And so the Lord is a great example that we should be praying all the time. And but there are a lot of people today that don't make prayer a priority. But I tell you what, the Christians that do make prayer a priority, they seem to just shine a whole lot brighter. They seem to be a whole lot happier. They seem to get the blessings of God quite a bit more, those who pray. And many have chosen to pray when it's only convenient, when they're only going through a great time of stress in their life. That's usually when people kind of pick up the pace a little bit with prayer. But I don't think there's anybody, any Christian that prays as much as they could pray. We all could pray more. Now, I will tell you this, Satan loves when Christians don't pray because he knows that without prayer, Christians are powerless and they can do nothing. Listen, you can't expect God to help you out if you're not going to pray. The Bible says, you receive not because you ask not. There are so many Christians. I tell you what, when we get to heaven, when we find out if we had just prayed about things, how things would have been different, we're going to sure wish we'd have prayed more. Amen? I mean, it doesn't cost us anything. I mean, just sit there and talk to God about things. And when it says, cast your cares before Him, for He careth for you. Hey, listen, what a great thing to be able to do. But even sometimes when we go through tough times, we are so stubborn that we could pray and we could cast those cares before Him, but even then we decide to hang on to them ourselves until we can't take it anymore. And then we start casting our cares. That's when we say, well, there's nothing else I could do now but pray. To this day, those words just drive me crazy when people say that. There's nothing else we can do now but pray. Well, maybe you've been praying since to begin with, you wouldn't have to make such a statement. Amen? And so Satan loves it when we don't pray because he knows prayer is the greatest weapon that we have. Prayer is our comfort when we come before the throne of grace. It is our weapon when it comes to battle between good and evil. It's been said that prayer is what moves the hand of the Creator. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Prayer is what moves the hand of the Creator. Is there anything more powerful than that? I mean, after all, it is the Creator who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I mean, just a word. And just think about this. You have the ear of the Creator when you pray. But yet, we just don't pray. Sometimes I wonder if the reason we don't pray is because we don't really believe what the Bible says about prayer. I wonder if that's the reason why. But I will tell you this. Every time you pray, and you're constant in your prayers, you will notice that the devil will try to get you. How many of you realize that every time that you try to get alone to pray with the Lord, that's when the phone's going to ring. That's when something's going to happen in the house. That's when somebody's going to break a glass. That's when, you know, all of a sudden a water pipe busts. I mean, you ever notice that things always happen on Saturday night, Sunday mornings, and when you pray? Amen? I mean, hey, I sit there and I watch it snow on Saturday nights, weekend after weekend after weekend. And I know who the principality and powers are of this world. I don't believe in accidents, folks. I really don't. Now, I don't know, I have to study the Bible a bit and see how much control the devil has over the weather, but it sure seems like an awful big coincidence, amen? And I'll tell you something, it seems like there's going to be an argument in the house. When is it going to be? Saturday night, Sunday morning. Amen. Why? The devil doesn't want us to come to church. The devil doesn't want us to prepare our minds. The devil certainly doesn't want us to pray. And if you think I'm kidding you, I'll challenge you. Pick a time and say, you know what, and write it down. This time, from this time to this time, I'm going to go where it's quiet. And I'm just going to sit there and pray and just listen to the Lord. And see how long that lasts. The devil doesn't want you praying. That should tell you something about prayer. Amen? The devil doesn't want you praying. And so, prayer can sometimes be a battle. And the devil will take every opportunity to oppose any effort that we make to come before the throne of grace. Yet, it is still clear in these verses that Jesus wants prayer to hold a preeminent place in our hearts. And starting in verse 5, Jesus gives us some very important instructions when it comes to prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, look if you would, starting at verse 5. Here's what he says. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Now, that's the same thing he said over there about the giving of alms. "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now, I have actually been in churches to where it seemed like people were praying for the sake of everybody else. In other words, they prayed to be seen of men. I remember going to church years ago, and they called on a fellow to pray, and I don't know if he normally talks like this, but when he prayed, it seemed like his voice just totally changed to somebody. It didn't even sound like him. "Oh God, be with us as we come into this service." I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with him, you know? And what was he doing? Well, I think he was kind of being like this hypocrite here. See, he wanted to pray in a certain way to where everybody noticed that where everybody thought he was some sort of spiritual giant. Now, I will tell you this, that I think with some people, I think that public prayer is a temptation. I've always thought that with some people. And I will tell you this, if you think it's a temptation to come to me, and I won't call on you to pray publicly, okay? And if you're not tempted by it, then everything's okay. But, you know, I do think that there are people today who will change their prayers when they pray publicly, and they'll say things that they wouldn't normally say when they pray privately. Now, I'm not saying that we should name everything. Our private conversation with God is private. I understand that. But, you know, when you talk to God, you should talk to him just like a child talks to his father. Amen? With reverence. And like you would talk to your father. He is your heavenly father. And so here the Lord is saying basically that these men were not praying for God's sake. They were praying for the sake of other men. They were praying so that they could be seen. They wanted people to see them to pray, to see them praying. That's the reason they prayed right there standing up in the synagogues. That's the reason they prayed there on the street corners. They made sure that they got into places where people could see them praying because they wanted people to look at them and say, boy, that's some kind of spiritual giant right there. Look at him praying over there. What a spiritual fella. That's what they wanted. They wanted people to think highly of them. They wanted to see people to see how spiritual they were when they were out there. They put on a show for all to see. They would pray in front of others just to be seen. And when they were in the synagogue, they make sure that everybody saw and heard them pray. And the Bible says when people saw them praying, when people thought that they were so spiritual, it says that at that very moment they received their reward. But they won't get anything when they get to heaven for it. The very second that somebody says, boy, what a spiritual guy that is, there was a reward right there. They got what they sought after. Amen? And God gave them exactly what they wanted. He said, listen, if you're seeking the glory of men, then the glory of men you're going to get. But you ain't getting nothing from me. If you're seeking my glory, then I'll reward you. If you're seeking their glory, then they'll reward you. But you don't get to get both. Why? Because when you're seeking their glory, you ain't glorifying me, the Lord says. So you get your reward. And then so Jesus tells us that we're to be different than those hypocrites. He says in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Same thing he said about the giving of alms. When you do it in secret. When you give alms, give it in secret because the Lord sees it. You don't need to blow a horn. When you pray, pray in secret because the Lord hears your prayers. He sees you praying. You don't need to stand in the synagogues. You don't need to stand on the side of the street for people to see you. God hears every word you say. Listen, sometimes I'll be driving down the road praying. Now, when you're driving down the road praying, keep your eyes open, okay? Otherwise, let me know where you're at and I'll try to stay away from you. You can't pray with your eyes open because remember, you're talking to God. And sometimes I'm sure people pull up and they think I'm nuts because I'm sitting there, they think I'm talking to myself when I'm not, I'm actually talking to the Lord, you know. But when you pray, that's a time, in fact, I'll tell you right now, that's probably the best time that I find where I can be alone and talk to the Lord. Sometimes I'll just go park somewhere. Sometimes I'll be talking to him driving down the road. Sometimes, especially when somebody pulls out in front of me, makes me mad, that's when I really talk to him and say, Lord, help me to get past this, you know. But you know, we need to spend time with him alone, and we need to get in our closets and just talk to him. And I want to encourage you here, when it says, enter into thy closet when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's a great time for you to have quiet time with the Lord. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about quiet time? That is a very, very important thing. Hey, listen, when you pray at night, when you're praying in a car, I mean, all that's good, but there's just sometimes you just need to sit there and talk to the Lord, and when you stop talking, just be still and listen. Just be still and listen. I tell you this, that's a good thing to do before you make a big decision. Say, Lord, just give me peace on it if you want me to do it. Don't give me peace if you don't want to do it. Talk to him about it, and just sit there and listen. I'm not telling you you're going to hear a voice like everybody heard when Jesus got baptized. I'm not saying that. But I am going to tell you that sometimes that still small voice will sure make things awful clear. I'll give you an example. I wasn't going to do this tonight, but I'm going to do it. I want you to think about this. You know, one of the things I heard a preacher do years ago, he said this, and I want you to do this, okay? He said, close your eyes and bow your head. Now, everybody do that. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to yourself say, if I were to die right now, I would be in, and then you plug in the word. Okay, now look at me. If you're like the normal person, if you were being honest, you probably heard two answers. Because there's a part of you that said, maybe I'll be in hell. But then there was a still small voice that said, heaven. How many of you know that's true? You know what that is? You know good and well that if you receive Jesus Christ, you can't lose your salvation. Everybody in this room knows that. But the devil has always been trying to trip you up and trying to say, see, look what you did there. You did that. Look at the thought you had here. Look at the thought you had there. And you know what? The devil whispers in your ear sometimes and you hear the word hell. But you know better. And then all of a sudden, deep down, you just know the truth that heaven's where you're going to go. Make no mistake, that's the Holy Spirit of God within you. You know what the Bible says? That he's constantly telling us that we're children of God, 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 right? Listen, when you spend time with the Lord and you spend time with him in that quiet time, you're letting the Holy Spirit of God commune with you from the inside and you're talking to the Lord. That's a good time to spend alone with the Lord. And so when it says here, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father shall, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. That's a win-win situation. You get to sit there and spend time with the Lord, talk to him, and then when you get to heaven, he's going to reward you for it. What a good deal. Amen? But see what it is, it's that prayer is helping you out while you're here. It's giving you strength while you're here. It's giving you comfort while you're here. And so you can't lose by doing this. The only way you could possibly lose is when you make a fake prayer for other people to hear. That's the only way you could ever mess this thing up. But as long as you do it God's way, he's going to answer your prayers. He's going to reward you for praying. And you get to spend time with the Creator. Boy, what a good thing that is. Well, listen, if you just went any further than that right there, you'd say, well, you're crazy to try to do something for men. Absolutely. That's reason the Lord's telling you not to do it for men's sake. Do it for the Lord. Then look at what he says in verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. Heathen. Now, see, my mom calls it heathens, okay? As the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, Jesus makes it very clear here that if a person just says the same prayer over and over, things like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If that's all you pray, so that's my bedtime. You know, if you say, well, that's my bedtime prayer, and that's all you pray, do you realize that Jesus is going to give us a prayer here? And the prayer that he gives, do you know how many people today just quote that prayer without any thought whatsoever? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There are a lot of people that just pray that prayer over and over and over without any thought whatsoever. Isn't it a strange thing in the very passage that he says not to have vain repetition, that the Lord gives a prayer and that's what men actually start vainly repeating? That shows you where we are. That shows you just how wicked man is. Jesus makes it clear here that when you pray and all you do is just repeat a prayer, not only are you praying like a lost person would pray, a person who has no spiritual understanding at all, but when you repeat a prayer, your prayer will not be heard. And I've got to tell you, if you think about it, you can't really blame God on this thing. What if your children talk to you like you talk to God? Now, if you talk to God like a child talks to his father, then your children talk to you like that, and everything's okay. But what if your children just always said the exact same thing every time that they talk to you? I mean, let's say that you came home and your kids are there, and the second you walk in the door, they say, Father, thank you for this house. Father, thank you for the food you give me. Father, thank you for everything you give me. And you look at him, you're like, okay. And the next day, you come home, and they say, Father, thank you for the food. Father, thank you for the house. Thank you for everything you give me. And the next time you come home, Father, thank you for the house. Father, thank you for the food. Thank you for everything that you give me. Wouldn't you think after a while, he's being a little bit weird? I mean, wouldn't you, like, what are you doing? Does it make sense that when they do that, it seems like they really aren't talking to you, really? It's like they just have something to say, don't really know what to say, so they just repeat the same thing, and it's really not genuine? Yeah, that's the way God feels about it, too. Exactly the way he feels about it. He says, listen, don't be using vain repetition. When you talk to God, talk to him. Tell him about how your day was. He is interested in that, even though he already knows how your day is. He wants to hear from his children. He wants his children to talk to him. The same way you want your children to talk to you. Amen? I mean, you want to hear from them. You want to know how they're doing. You want to know. Listen, if they're going through something, what do we say? Talk to me. Talk to me. That's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want anybody giving vain repetitions. And he says here, it says in verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. In other words, they think that their prayers are being heard, but they're not. Because it's really not even a prayer. You know, how many of you know tonight that for the most part, God does not hear the prayers of a lost man? For the most part now. Except when a man calls upon him for salvation. Now I want to clarify this. Because when a lost man is searching for the truth and wanting a relationship with God, God will hear that man's prayers. And he will answer that man's prayers by sending somebody to witness to him. Now, if you don't believe that, turn over to Acts chapter 10 and I'll show you. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, you have a lost man. And this lost man prays to God. He offers alms and he prays to God. And we're told that God heard the prayers of this lost man, and his prayers were not, oh Lord, you know, Lord, forgive me my sins. No, he hadn't heard the gospel yet. I'll show you. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto them, look, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, again, Cornelius is an unsaved man here. But because he was searching for God, and he was searching for truth, God heard the prayers and sent him to somebody who would tell him the truth. Now, if you look at verse 5. It says, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now, you keep on reading that passage. What happens is he ends up hooking up with Peter, and Peter tells him the gospel, and Cornelius gets saved and off his house. Okay? What am I trying to say is this, that for the most part, when I say that God doesn't hear the prayers of a lost person, I'm saying that if a lost person says, Lord, I need help. I need you to provide me, you know, money for a car. Lord, I need you to do this. Lord, I need you to do that. Listen, the Lord doesn't answer prayers of somebody else's kids. Before a person's saved, you're not, listen, regardless of what the brotherhood of man says, before you're saved, you're not a child of God. The devil made it very clear that you're in the devil's family. He looked at those Pharisees and said, you're of your father the devil. But the moment you get saved, your family changes. The moment you get saved, you become a child of God. The moment you get saved, then God is your father, you're his child, and now he provides for you. Amen? But as a lost person in general, the Lord is not in the habit of just answering all their prayers. Why? It's not his children. However, if you have a lost person who is seeking the truth, a lost person who is seeking to find out how to be saved, a lost person who wants a relationship with God like Cornelius, God will hear those prayers and God will send somebody over there to witness to him or send him to somebody who will witness to him. That's the reason why if you take that and you go like we talked before, if you go over here in the jungle somewhere and there was, you know, have all these people and they worship, because like we know in Romans chapter 1 it says, put everybody to know that there's a God. Everybody knows there's a God, okay? So you have all these people, these people who've never heard of God before, they're worshiping something. They're worshiping the sun, they're worshiping totem poles, they're worshiping palm trees or whatever they're worshiping, but they're worshiping something. Well, where did they learn that from? It was put inside of them. If there's even one single person in that tribe that God knows will receive Jesus Christ, you know what God will do? He'll send a missionary over there. Cornelius over here was instant truth. God knew it. God heard his prayers and God says, hey, this man wants the truth. This man wants to be saved. This man wants a relationship with me. He's not saved yet, but I'll tell you what, I'll send him over here to Peter so Peter can tell him the gospel, because God already knew that he was going to get saved. It's like he heard the gospel. Amen? That's how it works. And so Cornelius here is an example of that. But in general, God is not in the business of answering the prayers of the lost. They're everyday prayers of providence and everyday prayers of intercession for others. God's not in the habit of answering those prayers. That's the reason why he says, but when you pray, use not vain reputation as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. In other words, he's saying this. Number one, the heathen overall aren't going to have their prayers answered. And number two, the heathen are the ones that use vain repetition in general. Now, I want you to think about something. You realize today that the rosary is probably the biggest vain repetition that there is. And the people that use the rosary are, in general, heathen. Your Bible's right, folks. Now, look what Jesus says in verse 8. Be not ye therefore like them. Like who? Like the hypocrites. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need for before ye ask. Now, you say, well, now, wait a second. If God already knows what we need, then why do we have to ask? Well, number one, because he wants you to ask first. And number two, it's because it's just good manners. And you say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Let me ask you something. Why do we want our children to ask first before they break into the ice cream? Now, you know they need that ice cream, right? I mean, it's a need. It's a need. Really, it's a want. But why do you want them to ask first? Well, number one, it's good manners to ask first. Number two, the reason you want them to ask first is because it shows who the authority is in that house. Now think about that. If those kids didn't need to ask you before they did something, and they just went in there and grabbed the ice cream anytime they want to by their will without having to ask, then they're the authority in the home. But if they have to ask you first and get your permission, then you are the authority in the home, right? That's when God wants you to ask him. God says, ask first. You can, listen, I'll give you whatever you want, but just ask first. Ask for it, and I'll give it to you. You don't ask for it, I won't give it to you. You know what that means? That means God's the authority, like he's supposed to be. But the problem is sometimes we just think that we should get everything we want. That's called being spoiled. Amen? You know what? If you had a child right now and you said, I ask first, he goes, why should I have to? I mean, that's just as much my ice cream as it is yours. We'd say, hey, you're a little bit spoiled here. You do it because I've asked you to ask first, and if you don't ask, I'm not going to give it to you. You ask not, you receive not because you ask not. You see how that works? And so it says here, God already knows everything you need, but he wants you to ask. I think that's acceptable. Amen? He wants you to ask first. And it's the same way with God. Verse 8, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. We are to pray from the heart. We're to talk to God as a child talks to his father, not with some repetitious prayer, not some prayer all dressed up for the sake of men. And then the Lord gives us an example of correct prayer. Now, in this passage here, starting at verse 9, we're given what's called the Lord's Prayer, but really this is not the Lord's Prayer. People like to call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's not. If you'll notice in verse 9, Jesus says this. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Now, you never heard the Lord ever pray this prayer. He said, but after this manner, pray ye. In other words, he's teaching them how to pray. Now, the real Lord's Prayer, hold your place here, but the real Lord's Prayer is found over in John chapter 17. Turn over to John chapter 17. And if you really want to know where the Lord's Prayer is, this is it. This is the Lord praying. And we can certainly study his prayer to learn a lot of things too. John chapter 17. Look at verse 1. John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all the things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Well, that's a big statement. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and thou and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and have come to thee, O Holy Father. Keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And then Jesus continues to pray. Now I want to encourage you to read that whole prayer there in John chapter 17 when you get time. But I want you to see that that was his prayer. While over in Matthew chapter 6, it's not really the Lord's prayer, because the Lord never prayed that one time. The Lord's telling these disciples how they're supposed to pray in lieu of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember, the whole context here in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 is the fact that he's there ready to set up the kingdom. And so he says, in lieu of the fact that the kingdom that I could set the kingdom at any moment, if Israel will receive me as their king, here's how you ought to pray. And then he starts to show them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now, that could certainly be our prayer today, but really we should be praying for the rapture. Amen. Okay? Thy kingdom come. I'm looking forward to when the Lord sets up his kingdom. All right, verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, if there's any doubt in your mind, the Lord's will may be getting done in heaven right now. But there's a whole lot of things going on in this earth that's not the will of God right now. Amen? So this is not talking about now. It is talking about during the millennial reign, though. Why? Because during the millennial reign, his will be done in heaven, and his will be done on this earth. Okay? And so then it says, give us this day our daily bread. Nothing wrong with praying for God to provide you with food, praying God to provide you with bread, especially as much bread costs these days. I'll tell you this, I went the other day to get a loaf of bread, and if you get anything worth eating, it's kind of high. Amen? So ain't nothing wrong with that. It ain't a bad prayer to pray. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, amen. Now here it's saying that we forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, today, we know that when it comes to salvation, it's not based on whether or not you forgive other people. For salvation, it's based on this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? He was buried, rose again the third day, and he asked the Lord to forgive you. Your forgiveness today is based on what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's where your forgiveness is based at today. Somebody has to pay the wage. And if you receive him, then he paid the wage 2,000 years ago. And your sins are forgiven. You put on the righteousness of Christ. But he's saying this. There's a time coming when he's sitting on that throne that you're going to have to forgive other people. Listen, you realize when the Lord comes back, things are going to be different on this earth. And there's going to be some things that's done different then than they're done now. Today, we don't have to keep eating the feasts. We don't have to keep eating the holy days. But they will then. When the Lord comes back, everybody's going to have to keep the Feast of Tabernacles on this earth. How many of you know that? That's what your Bible says. People have to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And if they don't come to Jerusalem to do that, it says that they're going to have things where the eyeballs melt out of their head. You read all of that over that in Zechariah. So things are going to be a little bit different. And you could see that in this prayer. Look down to verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's not today. You're forgiven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you of your trespasses. Today, Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Today, you know why you're supposed to forgive somebody? Because the Lord already forgave you. That's not what he's teaching in that prayer. That's the difference between what's going to happen in millennial and what's happening today. That's called rightly dividing the word of truth. Those were for the nation of Israel. That's where they're in a millennial reign while Christ is on this earth. Things are going to be done a little bit different. But today, you're saved the moment you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You're automatically got all your sins forgiven, past, present, and future. That's the reason Paul says to save people in Ephesians chapter 4, you are to forgive people because Jesus Christ forgave you. Why are you forgiving people today? Because nobody has done you worse than you've done to Jesus Christ. Nobody has treated you worse than you've treated the Lord since you've been saved. Me too. But yet he's always poised to forgive you at a moment's notice if you'll just confess your sins to him. That's the reason you need to forgive other people. But listen, to say today that God's not going to forgive you unless you forgive other people, that's not the gospel. It has nothing to do with the gospel today. Things will be a little bit different during millennial reign. However, we can still learn from this prayer, okay? So he gives this prayer, and then he teaches on this prayer. But his main thing when he teaches prayer is this, the same way it was with alms. He's teaching you how to pray, and he's teaching his disciples how to pray. But his main thing is this, is when you pray to the Lord. And that is something I want you to get tonight. When you pray, when you talk to the Lord, just talk to him. Talk to him like you would your parents. Talk to him with reverence. Listen, he's not just a big guy in the sky, like people like to say. He deserves reverence. He is God. But he's also your heavenly Father. And you know, as a child would ask his father for things, that's why we need to ask the Lord for things. Without motives, without trying to impress other people, we wouldn't think of it too much if our own child asked us something really loud just to impress his friends, right? That's what he's saying these hypocrites are doing. When we talk to God, we should just talk to him as a child talks to his father, asking him things, telling him thank you, praising his name, making much of him in prayer, and asking him things. That's where we're supposed to pray. And if we'll do that, if we'll just pray and keep it between us and God, God says, I'll reward you for that. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Not only will he reward us when we get to heaven, you're going to see a great reward even here on this earth that he's going to bless you with. Why? Isn't it good to have prayers answered? Isn't that a good thing? When you pray, it's just between him and you, you'll get your prayers answered. But if you pray for the sake of somebody else, God's not interested in that. Amen? So he teaches here a little bit about prayer. Now, it all comes down to verse 19, starting verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so next week we will look what he has to say about fasting. Because remember, the three subjects he talks about are giving of alms, praying, and fasting. So we'll look at fasting next week. All right.